Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Greetings, travelers. Yes, it's me, Mark. I am here to take you on another fun, hopefully exciting adventure for you all. I have been down another rabbit hole. This was something interesting to me. I was looking into devices that a lot of ghost hunting teams use to try to talk to the dead. I'm not a big fan of spirit boxes and ovuluses. To me, they're random number generators, random word generators. I have trouble with EVPs where it's random noise and people thinking it's, oh, I hear some shh, and then they go, oh, that's a woman telling me to get out. I don't hear that. My hearing's not the best, so maybe that's part of it. But also, I'm more receptive. I know it sounds anti-science, which I'm very much a fan of. I am more receptive when we go in with psychics and mediums and see their impressions and see if it backs up any of the historical data, the folklore, stuff like that. So now I'm all about science looking into this. That's the whole point. I'd like science to seriously look into this stuff. I just don't think it's been taken seriously since the early 1900s. And that's the sad thing. We talked a little bit about the Ryan Institute and the Duke University Parapsychology Department and how they were actively fought against by Kellogg and a bunch of the high colleges. And that ticks me off to no end. But as I was researching that, I stumbled on something that I'd heard about, but never really put much research into. And that is that Thomas Edison was working on a ghost phone. Now, I'd heard that Alexander Graham Bell had thought about it. I'd heard about some other things that were going about it that same time period, late 1800s, early 1900s. And then I heard about Tesla having a radio that made weird noises to him. So I had to dig into this a little more. If you'll indulge me, we're going to talk about Tesla versus Edison, and we're going to talk about the ghost radio versus the ghost phone. I think it's fascinating. It's more historical than anything, but I think you're going to have fun. So let's get in the Wayback Machine, and we're going to go back to the 1880s. There was this feud going on between Tesla and Edison, and it was called the War of the Currents, because Tesla had developed technology that could use the alternating current system, and Edison had been working on DC current. I'm not going to get into the science of this too much. That's not what this podcast is about, but there is plenty on this. Basically, DC current, direct current, Edison had just invented the light bulb. He was a genius. He'd invented the phonograph, and he had invented a bunch of other devices, and he had people working for him who were inventing devices, but he was making them work. But to replace the gas lamps everywhere with these new light bulbs, he needed to build an entire electrical system to go out everywhere. So he was coming up with these direct current power plants. The problem is they couldn't transmit energy very far. They needed to have wires. He'd have to build them in big cities, and he'd have to build them every few blocks just to transmit enough energy for the demand. So he started looking for help. There was this Serbian scientist who was working for him in Paris, who kept telling him, no, there's an easier way. If we can use alternating current, it's less friction. It's less wasted energy. We can transmit longer distances. And Edison just kept shutting him down, saying, no, this isn't going to work. It's dangerous. AC is dangerous. It doesn't, we don't know how to control it. Tesla's like, no, we've got this. They were in the middle of this. So let's talk a little bit about each of the guys. First, we're going to talk about Tesla. He had eidetic memory, so he could recall images, objects easily. And that also allowed him to basically accurately visualize 3D objects. And so as a result, he could just literally build something just by using a few drawings. He was working out of his imagination. Now, Edison was a tinkerer. So he would sit at the lab and he'd just have a bunch of stuff together and he would just start cobbling it together to make things. It would break. He'd put it together. It would break. He'd put it together. His famous line was, if I've tried 1,000 times, I've found 1,000 ways it doesn't work, but I will find the way it does. Whereas Tesla would spend hours and hours and hours and hours thinking about a project, finally get a brainwave and write it down. Now, we also realize a little bit now, because this wasn't around back then, that Tesla was very OCD and he probably had a few more other mental illnesses, but he was very, very clean and very, very efficient. And he did everything very specific ways. He was also, he's very much the guy who counts his steps. He does everything a specific way. Whereas Edison, like I said, he liked everything just on the table, made a mess. I kind of follow the Edison rule of, I don't really alphabetize my books. They're just there where I know I keep the specific ghost section, the specific werewolf section, stuff like that. So overall, Edison, who was the businessman and understood how to make a business work, he had over 1,000 patents. And Tesla basically had about 300. Edison had dozens of assistants helping him devise inventions, which also brought him most of his patents. We've got light bulb, phonograph, moving pictures. Those are all Edison's biggest things he's ever come up with. But that said, there were other people working on those things at the same time. They were all on the same path. One of the best quotes about it was that if Edison hadn't invented those things, somebody else would have. Edison dismissed Tesla, right? He just said, nope, we can't do this AC. His DC was simpler, just less efficient. Tesla was completely different. He wanted to disrupt the market. He had his alternating current motor was amazing. It had frictionless ideas. He showed it off to Edison. Edison wasn't interested. He quit Edison right there and started working as a ditch digger for like a year for $2 an hour. And I don't even think that there's like probably like $2 a week back then. He finally meets with Westinghouse. Yes, that Westinghouse, the man who used to have a Westinghouse range or a Westinghouse refrigerator, all that. He met with him and showed off how to make his device work. That he knew how to be a showman too. He wasn't the big showman like Edison, but he knew what he was doing. So Westinghouse invested with him. They had a great idea. He was going to pay royalties on every watt that he made. Tesla was back in and he was ready. And they built a giant electric dam at Niagara Falls. Perfect for them. And they got it over Edison. So Edison was ticked. Edison is like, oh no, this will not stand. This guy doesn't get to beat me. So that's where they came up with the war of the currents. Edison was trying to prove that AC was dangerous. So he insisted to the state of New York, hey, we're going to build an electric chair to kill people. Use AC. It's more dangerous. And when they electrocuted the first man, it didn't go well. It was very gruesome. It was terrible. And that's exactly what Edison wanted. It made AC look bad. There was a movie he made where he electrocuted an elephant. There were some scary stories of him electrocuting horses, all using AC to show how dangerous it was. Now, DC wasn't completely safe. Lines were everywhere because he was building these factories all over the place. Wires were falling and electrocuting people too, just not on the level, and they were keeping it quiet. Now, in the meantime, Tesla's working on other devices, and the AC-DC system, not the band, but the big companies finally kick Edison out and they start using AC because it is so much cheaper and so much easier. And that's what we use today around our house and everything. What I'm using to talk to you here on this podcast. Now, if you're listening on your phone or on a device that plugs in through a USB cord. That's DC. So it's still used today too. So both these guys are there. Now, Tesla was also working on a system to wirelessly transmit images, voices, moving pictures. He was working on radio, telephone, cell phone, television. He was working on all these things. Our entire mass communication system we use now was based on Tesla's systems. But Tesla's, where he was working on this, failed because JP Morgan, Westinghouse, both ran into financial difficulty. They couldn't keep paying him. They couldn't pay him his royalties. Tesla, if he had had any of Edison's business sense, would have said, hey, pay me when you start making money. I understand. It's about financial times. But instead, he was just magnanimous. He ripped his contract in half and said, here you go. Take it. I don't need the money. I want this to work. I want the world to work. He basically wound up being penniless for the rest of his life. He died in 1943, even though his inventions are the backbone of everything. He kind of faded into obscurity for a little while, but now he's, you know, his name's pretty famous now. Edison's, his patents or technologies, I mean, light bulbs are around, motion picture camera, kinetoscopes, stuff like that. They're in and out. But the big thing with Edison was he invented the factory system, which we use a lot of places. He also invented modern innovation, basically. So he's good. They're both weird guys. They're both right in their own way. They're both wrong in their own ways. That's how it happened. You know, we can't go wrong with this. They're both okay guys. But when we come back, let's talk about both of their last works. And I think you all will be pretty excited.
In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways we could show our appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, we're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why, this month only, we're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on us, with a select trade-in and a new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as our way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. Now that's what we call a celebration, because we're proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card sent within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on Unlimited Ultimate or postpaid Unlimited Plus. Minimum plan $80 a month with autopay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.
That's exciting stuff, right? I mean, no, it's history. I know. I'm sorry, gang. Before we can talk about other things, we have to talk about that, because that was the important part of this. But their clashing ideologies, their rivalry is huge. It's just kind of the way it was. So by the 1920s, they both had just changed the world in their own way. Their friction was still going on and they were still having issues. Tesla, when electricity is basically just coming in and light switches are coming on and all this, he's experimenting with fluorescent lights, where he's learning that just electricity flowing through the air can light a fluorescent tube. Basically, put a light bulb on a table and just flip the switch on the wall and it lights up. Wireless electricity. And he's really experimenting with this, but he's also trying to figure out how to transmit voices. This is something he had heard, something he was inspired by. I think Graham Bell was working on this at the same time. And he knew Edison had worked on the phonograph. And he thought about, well, if the phonograph works from this device, maybe it can work through electricity. And so he started experimenting with a crystal radio. Now, crystal radios had been around a little bit, but they were basically in 1901 powered. They didn't have batteries and all that, but they were powered by electromagnetic waves. And suddenly he starts hearing weird noises one night after he's working on this crystal radio. He heard these strange noises and he couldn't help but think of ghosts. And he wrote in his diary, "My first observations positively terrified me, as there was a present in them, something mysterious, not to say supernatural, and I was alone in my laboratory that night." 1918, he wrote again of same sounds he heard after tinkering with another radio. But this one he didn't say was otherworldly. He said, "The sounds I am listening to every night first appear to be human voices conversing back and forth in a language I cannot understand. I find it difficult to imagine that I'm actually hearing real voices from people not of this planet. There must be a more simple explanation that has so far eluded me. Science now says there was a simple explanation. The radio he was using is capable of picking up very low frequency radio signals from unseen sources, like atmospheric disturbances and electrical storms, and all that early electrical wiring that was everywhere. So that would translate into audio and sound like very weird disembodied voices. And that's one of the reasons why I hate when people use these Tesla scopes, the Tesla radio, the Ovilus, and things like that, because they're basically, they could be picking up background radiation. They could be picking up, now every house is filled with devices. Anything built after 1920 has electrical wiring. That's why your EMF goes off when you're standing next to your refrigerator and you go, oh, the refrigerator's haunted. No, picking up EMF from your electromagnetic field. We all generate electromagnetic fields. The Earth generates electromagnetic fields. So this was kind of the stuff Tesla was picking up, but he didn't know it at the time. Now, Edison, though, was hearing that Tesla's stuff was possibly reaching another plane. And he's like, well, I got to do it. Even though he was very much a skeptic and a critic, he did not like the seance mediums that were very popular at the time. Remember, this is yellow fever was over, Spanish flu was around, World War I was going on, loss was everywhere. And plus, people were still reeling from the Civil War. This isn't that long after that. So people are still, just death was common and everybody wanted to talk to their loved ones and all this. He finally, in 1920, comes out and says, I have been at work for some time building an apparatus to see if it is possible for personalities which have left this earth to communicate with us. And he called it the spirit phone. This one was rooted in science. He also had worked with this new guy called Albert Einstein, and he was very fond of his theories of quantum entanglement and relativity. Edison's thinking went like this, like, well, if people are energy, you know, equals MC square, and it is possible to convert mass to energy, then maybe the spirits of living people will become coherent units of energy when their bodies stop working. And if the entangled particles can affect each other, quantum entanglement theory, that maybe there's a way for those energy bundles to interact with our world. According to accounts, Edison puts together a prototype and he begins to test it. And he brings in mediums and scientists to come observe this experiment he's come up with. Basically, he had a projector set out on a workbench, and it emitted a thin beam of light onto a photoelectric cell. And then that cell was illuminated, and it was meant to detect the presence of forces and objects moving through the beam, like a motion sensor. It would even pick up things that were invisible to the naked eye. If a being from another world shows up and it walks past through that light, the cell would flash, and there was a meter hooked up to it, and it would let them know. They held a seance. They tried to move the needle. The psychics were trying to talk to ghosts. Hours passed. Nothing happened. The meter stayed dead center. Edison said, all right, didn't happen. We'll try again. And he went back to work on it. Everybody says this was a hoax, again, to just shut up Tesla, to show that it can't be done. But his diary after his death said he was really working on this. And he was working on the spirit phone all the way through the 1920s. Now, he died in 1931, did not find anything. He could only pick up the same stuff Tesla was picking up. But to transmit over the death veil, he really wanted that to work. And so he had made a pact, Edison made a pact with his engineer, a man named Dinwiddie, which you gotta love that name, that whoever died first, we would contact the other one. Now, Dinwiddie passed away in 1920, and Edison said, he never got in touch with me. So when Edison died, no one was able to get in touch with him. That's the way it worked. Now, Tesla went on. He tried to come up with other things. He died penniless in a hotel. He went from hotel to hotel. His company had died. He had basically just had stock certificates for all these companies that had failed. So he had just enough money from working and fixing things and a couple last minute patents. But he never did get his ghost radio to work. Now, he said towards the end that he had split the atom. He'd done all these crazy things way back. And he was visited by many prominent scientists to his last days. Every year, he would have a press conference. Press kept coming. He'd make these wild accusations, but there was nobody to prove any of it. And he sadly, like we said, died alone. In 1941, a group of researchers claimed that Edison reached out to them from beyond, gave them the plans for his spirit phone. They built it, but they never got any communication from it. The big scary thing is there are no records of Edison's phone anywhere. He meticulously wrote everything down other than his diary saying he was working on it and that article saying that thing happened. So a lot of people say didn't exist ever. and that he really wasn't working on it, that it was just to debunk Tesla. Now, Tesla, with his spirit radio, he did patent it, and you can build one. There's easy instructions to build one. But again, I don't think you're getting the void. You're getting background radiation, stuff like that. So I would love for a real scientist to focus on this and find, yes, I do believe quantum entanglement. I do believe we convert to energy. Is it still sentient? I would love to know. As we've discussed ghosts with ghost hunters, I've been places where I've seen some strange things that make no sense. I've seen some things that are scary. I would love to know why. I would love to know what they are. Thank you, patrons, for putting up with this. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you, listeners. I hope you're having a great time listening to all these mini-sodes. I hope you enjoy our big episodes. And we've got some major guests coming up. I'm very excited. We've also got appearances. So if you go to eerietravels.com, you can find that. We've got the new book coming out. Should be available for pre-orders by the time this airs. Look for Dark Side of the Smokies, Eerie Travels Presents. I think you will enjoy it. I'm excited for future projects. EerieTravels.com has all this. That's where you can get to our Patreon. That's where you can get to following us. And that's where you can also find old episodes if you can't find them on your podcast machine. All that said, Tesla versus Edison, they both have an amazing history with us. We owe our world to both of these men. It's a shame they couldn't get along, but that is the way it is with greatness. Sometimes we all got to be a little mad scientist to make the world go round. Thank you all for joining me on this. Don't electrocute elephants. Don't electrocute elephants. And we'll see you on the other side.
Its first Motor Trend Truck of the Year, it was celebrated. But after seven times, what's left to say? The trophy speaks for itself. And now, so does the deal with Employee Pricing Plus. Stop by your local dealer today and take home a Ram truck. Ram, seven-time Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Nothing stops Ram. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Rams for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers will qualify. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. N6225. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.